everybody. I'm Liz Nolly.
I'm Carrie Thomas.
And welcome to the Just Us Podcast, a place for Black women navigating corporate spaces.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, Carrie.
So, Liz, you know, we've been doing the show for a little while now when we started to get, you know, comments and questions and letters and stuff. So one of the comments that I heard is, for a show about career and professional Black women, why do you guys always wear jeans and t-shirts or sweatshirts? And so
I was, our show.
And we not, did this.
And we're not on anybody's clock up in here. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
No, I just, I felt some kind of way about that comment because, one, we wanted to be relaxed doing the show. We wanted to be comfortable. We wanted to, you know, be our authentic selves. And
definitely,
one of the things that we started to do is wear shirts that, even though they might be like a t-shirt to somebody, there's usually either a message or it represents something that is specific to us and who we are. And I think that that's okay. But what really triggered me, and I'm going to use that millennial term, is that, you know, I'm just really kind of over people policing Black women.
Whew.
Policing what we wear.
Okay, Reverend Carrie, you just preached a whole sermon.
Hear me now.
Okay.
Policing what we wear, how, you know, our hairstyles, all of it, what we eat, what's wrong with our bodies. It's just one more example, and so I just want to kind of say to the people out there that it's okay that we are talking about this stuff, because what makes us who we are is our experiences,
mm-hmm.
and if we choose to wear t-shirts and jeans on our podcast, that's our choice.
Amen. And so here's the thing, real talk. This
real
is very
talk.
Like, what I wear on this show is very on brand for me inside of my coaching practice.
Mm-hmm.
So those who have been following me since I started doing lives and stuff like that back in 2019, I always use, or if you've read my books or whatever, or even before that, when I started blogging, I always use cultural references. I teach with
Absolutely.
Cultural references, cultural references and sports.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's who I am.
And we connect on a lot of that shared
thing.
Experience.
And you know, and as an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. like I've spent over 35 years plus in corporate settings having to wear a certain uniform to my W-2 day job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, if I'm building my thing for myself and investing my time to build something that's mine, I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
And these same people, nobody questioned Steve Jobs when he rocked a black turtleneck and some jeans and changed the whole and was an innovator. He was an innovator. Like, he didn't ask for
right.
it. Like, so why can't we? It's right there in the show title and tagline, a place for Black women navigating corporate spaces, just us.
Yeah.
Like, so it's what we want to do, how we want to do it, our way. We're
yeah.
always dressed time, place, and situation appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's appropriate to the time, place, and situation that we are creating.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the other piece of it is we deal with some very triggering, to use that word again,
yeah.
serious conversation on this show. But we also have some fun.
We do.
So we may as well be comfortable doing it. And I think a lot of people who are tuning in are tuning in after hours. They don't want to see two suits up
right.
here pontificating about
talking
what,
heads.
Like doing whatever. Like
yep.
part of what our audience says to us in the comments is, oh my gosh, this was so relatable, that's so relatable, or whatever,
yeah.
and stuff like that. So we're just being who we are.
Yep.
I mean, our production crew, we drop hip-hop lyrics all the time, and our production crew is a little bit younger than us. They're like, what y'all know about that? You know, like these two prim and proper old ladies sit on the couch, and then all of a sudden the Wu-Tang Clan comes out, and everybody's shocked. But if you know us, that's just who we are. and what we wear on the show because it's our show.
Yep.
We can do what we want to do, and we can wear what we want to wear. When you get your podcast, you rock out. You wear the 12-piece suits and
yeah,
and all the
fancy
and all the
hair,
things,
the
fancy
jewels,
hats, the jewels,
and all
of that. Even though nobody in corporate America really dresses like that, but that's neither here nor there. But when I'm coaching, when I have my coaching hat on and stuff, I am as comfortable as I can be for the situation.
Yeah.
So there.
Y'all heard that? Okay. So.
Anything else you need to get off your chest?
I think we settled that.
On that one. Okay.
All right.
Next time somebody says like you can have them call
talk
me.
To her.
You can have them call me. Call me. Unless you're a sponsor with a check, then we'll wear whatever you want. But that's neither here nor there at this point. But you know, like okay.
Liz, let's get to the readout.
All right, Carrie. So here's this.
What we got today?
This letter is kind of interesting. Here we go. Feel free to stop me before I get to the end if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'll just read it all the way through and then we can discuss.
Very appropriate letter today.
Very appropriate. It says, Dear Liz and Carrie, I need some real advice because something happened at work that completely threw me off. And honestly, I'm still sitting with it. I had a big presentation recently, one of those career-defining moments where you know people are watching, evaluating, and forming opinions. I wanted to show up confident, polished, and prepared, so I invested in a new suit, tailored, professional, and well within my company's dress code. That's important, I think, mm-hmm. right? Sounds like she was time and situation appropriately
yeah.
dressed to me. The only thing is, I'm curvy. Okay, so what? So am I, sis, but I digress. So even when I'm fully covered and appropriate, my body type shows up in ways that it might not on somebody else.
Mm.
Right before I was about to go on, a coworker pulled me aside and said, I'm not sure I would wear that for a meeting like this.
Wait, say what?
Wait. Time out for some black conversation.
Girl. Right.
Anyway, back to the letter. That one comment completely rattled me. I guess so. Suddenly, instead of focusing on my presentation, I was second guessing myself. Was this too much? Was I distracting? Ugh. Are people judging me? It took everything in me to push through and deliver. But I know I wasn't as confident as I could have been. What frustrates me is that I followed the rules. I looked professional, but it still felt like my body was being policed in a way that others don't experience. As a black woman, it already feels like we're under a microscope at work, and moments like this make me question whether I'm being taken seriously or just being scrutinized. So my question is, how do you handle comments like that in real time without shrinking yourself? And how do you rebuild your confidence when someone plants that seed of doubt right before it matters most? Because I don't want to dim myself, but I also don't want to be naive about how I'm being perceived. Sincerely, second guessing before showtime.
That's wild. Hey, to understand our answers, rewind back about 10 minutes to the beginning of the show, because my whole response to the person who said that is stop policing black women's bodies.
Amen.
That's just number one. Now, I've been in situations where I've worn a suit, for example, and I think, oh, it's going to look a certain way, and then you put that on and your body...
Mm-hmm.
Your black woman body, if I'm being honest, says, no, girl, this is going to fit like
the
this.
The ancestors come out and say, baby, we need a slip. We need the right undergarment. Some of y'all don't know what a slip is, but that's okay. You could ask your mama. I ask your auntie.
Ask your auntie.
But, you know,
sure.
Like, if you need some pantyhose, you need the right undergarment, you need the right thing, whatever.
I know.
But that's
I believe
okay.
in an undergarment. I really do. Because
okay.
my body requires one.
That foundational
gear
is key.
I want those things to fit the way that they're supposed to.
Exactly.
But if this woman was within the dress code of the corporation that pays her bills, and she felt good about how she looked, then that other person should not have said anything.
She's a hater. I'm assuming it's a she. It could have been a he. But that other person is straight
right.
out of
Maybe
Mean
they didn't
Girls.
Like the way she looked. Maybe they have something against her. Or maybe they wanted to rattle her when she's getting ready to do this big presentation.
That jealousy.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate that they chose that time to sort of break her confidence. But I wish that she had the kind of confidence to just let that rattle off and then go out there and kill it. I hope she did.
I hope she did, too. Here's my take on this. That person who did that to you, sis, is a straight-up hater. And it's not unfortunate. It was intentional. It was intentional. And my take on this is, if your star wasn't rising, if second guessing before showtime, if her star wasn't rising, that person never would have come for her, right? Because people,
it wouldn't have mattered,
right? I mean, I think of the rapper Lizzy Liz versus Jay-Z. Do you know who Lizzy Liz is? Of course you don't, because Lizzy Liz is a nobody. That was like when me and my friends were like in like fifth grade.
Like me, Special K.
Oh, right, exactly, right? When we all were giving ourselves hip-hop names.
Right.
And that was all creative. Like, as everybody, there was a Debbie Dub and a Lizzy Liz and a Richie. Like, you know, like and that was a thing in like the late 70s, early 80s,
right.
And early days. And we were like all like hip-hop, hippity-hopping around, you know, our parents' living rooms and stuff like that during sleepovers or whatever. Like, Lizzy Liz is a nobody rapper, never will be. Nobody's coming for Lizzy Liz. Nobody's battling Lizzy Liz.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. Eminem's not in the group chat coming for me with some lyrics. 50 Cent isn't trolling Lizzy Liz on, like, it's not happening.
Mm-mm.
Because she's a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want to be 50 Cent. You want to be Jay-Z, Eminem, mm-hmm. LL, Big Daddy Kane. Like, if your star is on the rise, that's when people come for you.
Yeah.
So, that's your first sign that you're a superstar, when other people are coming for you.
Mm,
right?
Yeah.
So just understand that, you know, like, the devil only comes after righteous people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's only going to test righteous people. Right? So, all I'm saying is, and that's a different show. I'm not qualified to speak on that podcast. But I'm
well,
just
you were preaching a few minutes ago.
But, but I'm just saying, my good sister, like, if you weren't about nothing, if your star wasn't rising at work, if you weren't on point and stuff like that, that jealous player hating mean girl, mean guy, you know, straight out of a Britney Spears movie or whatever it is, like, not Britney Spears. Who did all the Mean Girls movies? I forget the actress's name. Lindsay Lohan. Straight out of a Lindsay Lohan kind of movie. Like, that person wouldn't be paying you any mind.
Yeah.
So take that as a sign of, like, next time that happens to you, take that as a sign of affirmation that, yeah,
you're doing something right.
You're on the move. And that person that's doing it to you isn't. Because I have never seen, in all of my years of successful navigation in multiple spaces, I have never seen anybody who's more successful or as successful as me, or let alone more successful than me, whether it's organizationally, higher up the hierarchy, mm-hmm. bigger title, bigger name, bigger whatever, try to come for me.
Right.
If anything, those are the people who fix your crown and pull that skirt down and make sure that, like, you know, the lint brush is straight, that you straight before you go up there, right? Like, you know, so it's more about like true kings and queens fix the other's crown before mm-hmm. they go out there, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of like coming with their mind games or poisoning the cup before you go out there on that stage.
The negative tone of the comment lets you know that it's not there to help you. It's not, girl, let me just let
no,
you know.
There was no crown fixing. That. This was all poisoning.
It's all about
poison in the cup.
Yep.
So I would say, number one, the more successful you get ready, because the more the haters will come for you. But on the other token is, the other side of that same coin is, there'll also be more kings and queens around you to help you fix your crown before you go
that
out
part.
There. So lean into that. Take it as a good thing. I co-sign everything Carrie said about the whole body policing thing. I would say, too, that the comment was slick, because if you took it to HR wouldn't say, you wouldn't get any help, because they didn't go so far this way or so far that way.
It was just enough to leave a dig.
So you have the power to advocate for yourself in the workplace. So you could have said, oh, all right, well, you know what, if you'd like, it was like, since we're talking about company dress codes, would you like me to share a copy of the employee handbook with you? So, you know, like, or if you could point, you know, or invite them to show you the employee handbook where you're not, or, you know, or you could say, I've read the employee handbook. Would you like me to share my copy with you?
Yeah.
Or point you to it on the internet.
Yeah.
Like you can clap back in a way that reclaims your power. Don't let these people get inside your head, because that's all mind games and manipulation. The other thing is, or if you're not that kind of snarky, I am that kind of snarky, but that's not everybody's ministry, which is fine. You could just say, I'm sorry, can you clarify what you mean by that? And put them on the spot. Don't let them bully. No, you can't let a corporate bully have the last word, right? Especially in a moment like this. And, oh, you can't? Okay. I'll see you after the show. You know, I'll see you after my presentation. Or would you like some popcorn to watch it from the back row? Oh, that's right. You weren't invited to the meeting.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, whatever that takes, but whatever you need to do.
My personal favorite, like, oh, you wouldn't wear it, but you're also not the one giving the presentation.
That's it right there. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can speak up for yourself in those meetings. Well, so-and-so didn't seem to mind it.
Yeah.
You know, well, I'll tell you what the room thought.
Yeah,
I'll let you know after
how it went.
How it went, since you're not invited to the meeting. Like, you know, like you could do that. Or maybe you wouldn't, but you know what?
Sometimes the cattiness is okay.
Yeah. You wouldn't wear it, but you know what? You're not the one speaking.
Right.
Okay. You know, like that's what diversity and inclusion is about. Like, there are things, I've seen people wear like hats and colors and different things that I could never pull off.
Right.
But it's fire on them, right? And I would like to think maybe I could pull off some things that some other people couldn't necessarily, right? But there's more than one way to be corporately appropriate. So don't let anybody shake you or get inside your head or anything.
Everyone doesn't have the same style, and that is that's the uniqueness of each person also.
Yeah.
So
100%. Now, the other thing that I would say is, you have to discern whether this is like a one-off thing because your star is rising and you're getting the opportunity, or if it's a pattern with this particular individual. Either way, document. Document this conversation. Document your clapback or how you responded to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have to follow up with them after the fact and say, hey, you know what? I wanted to revisit that conversation, what you said to me on my way into the meeting. What did you mean by that? And see what they say, and document it. Because if it becomes a pattern, then you've got proof of hostile work environment and all the other kinds of things. Then you could take things to HR that this person is constantly saying digs and attacks and blah, 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 right? And you don't know who else this person is saying it to. It could be every time they get passed over for the big opportunity and somebody else gets it, they go and they do their little player hating, whatever kind of stuff. But above all else, you know, That's a them problem. It's not a you problem. Just because your success, your presence, your black girl magic, your excellence makes somebody else uncomfortable, that's a them problem. That's not a you problem.
Don't internalize
it. Don't internalize that. Just say thank you, because take that as affirmation from the universe that you are the rock star that we know that you are and that you ought to know that you are, and rock on and keep it moving.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I would say.
That's what I would co-sign as well.
All right. So second guessing before showtime. Don't second guess. You are built for this purpose, for such a time as this, to coin a phrase. Again, I'm not qualified to preach on that podcast, but I'm just saying, like, don't let anybody, friend, family, coworker, foe, bow thing, whatever it is, like, don't let anybody get inside your head and let you question yourself and question your greatness, like, because they wouldn't have given you the opportunity, thrown the ball to you in that clutch moment if you weren't ready. You're ready. You're deserving. Rock out, and to heck with the player haters. Take the player hate as affirmation that you're on your way to greatness.
Amen. I agree with that. So this actually brings up a couple of things that swirling around in my mind, like the idea of how women dress or how women are perceived, that comes across, and it relates to a lot of the different tropes about black women that we see in the U.S.
Yeah.
So I thought, let us take a look at the top five black female tropes that are often weaponized against us.
Ooh-wee. Am I gonna, like, be curled up on the end of the couch, like twitching in the corner?
Maybe.
By the end of this list?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
But the tropes are real, because, like, yeah, okay. I'm scared to hear what's on your list, Carrie. But go ahead.
Hold on, let me get to it.
I'm holding on. I'm scared.
All right. So I'm gonna start with the honorable mention.
Okay. I'm gonna save that for after.
Okay. Top five tropes. The sassy sister. This would be Ava from
Abbott Elementary. I like Ava, but she is sassy. She is
Maya
sassy.
From Girlfriends. Remember her?
I'm sorry. I love Golden Brooks as an actress and stuff like that, but I just don't think so. Ava works for me.
But you get what I
get where you're going.
It's like they have a little bit of attitude. They can be professional. But they come from a certain place, or they were raised a certain way.
They have an edge.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you off, cuss you off. Like,
yes. Shenane.
Okay. This is the black woman that a lot of other folk try to cosplay on the internet.
When they feel like they're
with the head roll and the fingernail.
And they're getting their black girl on, this is the trope that they use.
And that's why I hate this trope. because there's we know the energy. We know people that are like Ava and Maya, Shanae, and everything. But okay. We're going to have some real honest pull the curtain back talk. So I have been a black woman almost my entire life.
Almost?
I mean, like right before I came out, I wasn't.
When
I was still baking,
but from
I was,
that first breath.
But when I was still baking in the womb, I wasn't. But my whole life, I've been a black woman.
Exactly.
So I'd like to think that 50 plus years, almost sneaking up on 60 years of being a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my friends, a lot of whom you know,
mm-hmm.
we don't say, "Hey, girl, honey, child, you know, like we don't do this. All right, and whatever. That's why Shanae, shout out to Martin and my T-shirt, like, it's such a caricature because that's where satire comes from, because it's an over the top depiction of a, you know, like, of a thing rooted in a little bit of reality. But most of us don't talk like this.
I mean, these people do exist in the real world.
They do,
but it is not like. We're not all this thing, and it gets represented that we are all this thing. So, like, when, for example, a white woman wants to relate to us, then they're like, girl. Yeah.
Listen.
No, you don't have to do that.
I went to private school. I went to a very, I like to think it was prestigious. I know it was expensive. Private school. And I was blessed to go. I really was because my parents sacrificed a lot. And these white boys and white girls, they wouldn't do it to me, but they would do it to a classmate of mine who happened to be black also. And they would come up to her, hey, girl. Hey. And I don't want to say her name.
Yeah.
But let's say it was Michelle. Hey, Michelle. Hey, Michelle. And it's like, her name is Michelle. It's not Michelle. Hey, girl. Hey, honey child. How you doing? It was minstrel-ish.
Mm.
It was straight out of a minstrel show, like cosplay. You know, now we say cosplaying, you know, and there's the whole blackface debate and all this kind of stuff. But that's what it was. And I was just so insulted by that. I was like, we don't talk like that. Like, and you would never say that to the people who actually do talk like that.
Right.
Like, because you would be afraid
so
to you'd be so afraid of them. So why are you bringing that up in my face? That's why, you know, like, there is a, that's why it's so important that, like, there's a diversity of depictions of us in multiple spaces.
Well, there's a diversity of tropes, because I have another one.
you got me going with that. That was just the first one. I'm glad there's only five this week, because I don't think I could handle 10.
Yeah.
You got me all worked up.
The bubbly black girl.
Bubbly black girl.
This would be, speaking of Abbott Elementary, Janine, for example.
Oh yeah, okay.
Or, say, Freddie Brooks from...
Yeah, okay, okay. I got it. Poster child. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So this trope is weaponized against us because the bubbly black girl is often used as sort of like the outsider, the not black enough,
right,
made to feel less than, like she can't relate to other black people, especially the sassy sister.
100%. And I think Freddie and Janine, the great examples of that. What makes Janine and Ava work is that there is a diversity of black girl representations on that show.
Yes.
And they're both, and the depictions of both of those tropes are very layered and just beautifully portrayed by the actresses and beautifully written also.
Yeah.
Like, I've been watching the Reliving Single podcast with Erica Alexander and Kim Cole.
Yep.
And the Sinclair character is kind of,
she would be another example like of the bubbly black girl.
But again, layered depiction, beautifully written, beautifully acted, and against a diverse array of black femininity on screen,
but
which
even,
is why it works.
Even in that show with Kim, you know, her character, they would still sometimes like dismiss her for being like, you know, silly or goofy, or she was the outsider amongst those women.
She was, but she was also smart.
Yeah.
And she was authentic to herself.
And the great thing about that show is that they, like, yeah, that was her entrance. But over time, you start to see that there's some genuineness, some authenticity, and they do embrace her for who she is.
And she's layered, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I think I said on a previous episode that I always identified as with Freddie, because I always felt, because my naturally curly hair just does whatever it wants to do on a given day anyway. So kind of like Freddie. So I kind of identified with her. But, you know, and I was, you know, like nerdy, tomboyish. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I was always kind of like an outlier too, yeah, in my own circle. I was very comfortable in that space, by the way. So it was nice to see other people who I connected with.
Yeah.
Because but sometimes I think what's interesting about that is we wear these tropes like, okay, I overthink. Mm-hmm. How am I showing up in the world? Like, are my coworkers, if I lean into my bubbly black girlness,
yeah,
at work, right, where I let my sassy sister side, because I have it. We were just talking before we started taping, how, like, I can kind of, like, with the joke sometimes. I could cut a little deep when I want to, but, you know, so I do have some of that energy, right? Like, but if I let those sides of me show up at work,
mm-hmm,
is it going to have negative implications for my career?
Right.
Like, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. So I've always had to, like, as a bubbly black girl, and I mean, I went to private school my whole life. I went to college on a field hockey scholarship and everything. So, you know, like, I mean, I played basketball, I played other sports, mm-hmm, stuff like that. But, you know, like, to some people, and we talked about this on a previous show, the definition of blackness, right?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't meet other people's expectations relative to a definition of blackness, right? So when I step into situations, like, I was just at an offsite meeting with my colleagues, and they were doing karaoke.
Yes.
And I can't sing. That doesn't stop me from trying to sing every now and then, but we all know I can't sing. And so, you know, but nobody there could sing. But I've always said,
it's
okay,
karaoke. Singing is part of what makes it good.
Right. So as I was mustering the courage, I had this whole internal debate, like war going on in my head. Do I or don't I? Because I wanted to have fun and connect with my coworkers. But mm-hmm, if I let my bubbly black girl come out, are they, you know, how is that going to be perceived as the only black woman in the room of 150
yeah,
people?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, how is that going to look? I'm carrying the weight of the whole race and the ancestors in there with me. Eli, I mean, this is all in my head.
Yeah.
Nobody else was thinking this. I was thinking this, just like our letter writer was inside her own head on this stuff. And
yeah,
then it was like, okay, so do I or don't I? Okay, so if I make a decision to do it, okay, we'll bump it. Everybody else is doing it. Do it. You got to fit in. You got to be a team player. Okay, cool. Roll with the corporate culture that you're in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So once I made that decision, then it was like, okay, what song do I sing? Then I was like, oh my gosh, do I sing Motown song where I have a little bit of confidence, where I know most of the words of the song and stuff like that? Or do I sing like Journey, which is like my all-time favorite car karaoke, you know?
Perfect,
like,
for
like
karaoke.
Don't Stop Believing,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or,
and then are you going to be judged on what you're singing?
That's,
yeah,
yeah, right, am I betraying my black self? Like, I mean, it was like this whole calculus.
The internal turmoil.
Oh my gosh. I can tell you, I went through this whole thing, and by the time I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do, it was over. Like, but nobody, like, nobody was thinking.
This was all happening inside. Yeah.
Inside. And these are the things that we as black women navigating corporate spaces, like, these are the mental rabbit holes that we go down and the mental calculus that we have to,
yeah,
like, we often find ourselves trying to, like, Rubik's Cube our way out of a situation,
yes,
and figure out.
Exactly.
So, but we don't have to. It's okay to just be ourselves.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think, what one of the things that we're trying to get across with the entire podcast is that, you know, every woman is different, and we all have our good things that we can show up as. So even though these tropes exist and they are trying to use it against us, it's okay for us to be who we are. Lean into each part of ourselves.
Well, so
lean
well
into
said.
Your sassy sister sometimes. Lean into your bubbly black girl. And there's three more that we didn't get to. The exotic black woman.
Ooh.
The prim,
ooh,
and proper black woman.
Ooh.
And of course, the one we all know about, the angry black woman. There's parts of each of these tropes that exist in the real world,
mm,
for every single one of us. And we can't let ourselves be judged, or we can't allow people to take that about us and use it against us.
Amen. And I think, you know, like a trope is a version of a stereotype that gets played out, mm-hmm. right, in popular culture right. mediums, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a kernel of truth in all of that.
Absolutely.
And it's okay to honor that. It's
yeah.
okay. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
We do a lot of black conversation on this
we
show
do.
Where we go, you know, like somebody else may go, girl, or whatever. And that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Like it's all shades
but
of black.
But that's just one part of
it's
who
It's just one part
are.
Of who we are. And I love that you said we need to embrace ourselves and embrace all of it, all
yeah.
the parts of it, because we are a mélange
yes.
of influences.
Yes,
and
we are.
All shades of us are beautiful. So the exotic black woman, prim and proper, that's interesting.
So if let's just give some examples of each of the exotic black woman. That's an interesting one because it's where the black woman is seen as sort of like this. She just, you know, there's recently a reality TV star found out that the white man that she liked decided to start dating one of her good friends on the show, a white woman.
Oh.
And one of the problems that this reality star had was that all the men that come for her, they look at her like she is just this exotic creature that they all just want to claim.
Right.
And it's not about finding a real love connection between them.
You see that over and over on the dating shows.
Yes, and that is a clear example of the exotic black woman.
Mm.
The prim and proper black woman is sort of like that church mom.
The glory.
Yes, exactly.
Fish eye fool.
Right, Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son.
She prim and proper with a dash of sassy
with
sister.
With a dash of sassy sister. You know, Florida Evans.
Evan.
This is that respectable black woman.
Yeah.
Prim and proper, and then of course angry black woman. We all know about that one.
Prim and proper in old school movies and stuff. She's often paired, depending upon who's writing it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not somebody that looks like us that's writing it,
mm-hmm.
she's often paired with like a mammy type of a trope. Like
yes.
she's a housekeeper, caretaker.
Yes.
She loves little white children and,
right.
and stuff like that and neglects her own family to love on, you know, the other family that she, you know, like you see it in The Help and, you know, like,
yes.
and things like that. So you often, you are, but she's dignified.
Yes,
she's
dignified.
Which is
mm-hmm.
why the little white
and silent.
The little white children that she raises loves her so much. And, you know, like, can you tell The Help is one of my least favorite movies because of this trope? You know, like they're all like.
We'll talk about The Help one day.
But I'm just saying, like, it's often paired that way,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, with that
yeah.
on the other side of it.
You is beautiful.
You know, but if you're going to go prim and proper, I like the Claire Huxtable portrayal of prim and proper black
women. We're all down with Claire Huxtable. Well, that's the prim and proper that comes with a little sassy sister, though.
With a little sassy sister, but that's okay. I'll take
and
that.
And that's why we like it.
And that's why we can remix. Like, I remix my sauces. Like,
exactly.
We have some, shout out to Uncle Willie's Wings. We had, so we don't do craft food services here, unless they want to sponsor the show. But we have some Uncle Willie's Wings.
Let's see what I can do
like,
about that.
like before, and I mix my sauces.
You gotta mix your sauces
all the time.
Yes.
And these personas are like little sauces, and
right.
we just mix them all up and everything. And angry black one. And listen,
I don't even think we need to even say anything about that one because we all know we've heard it enough. It's in the zeitgeist. It's talked about in universities and it's explored.
Oh,
it's overdone.
To quote Sunshine Anderson, heard it all before.
Exactly.
But I will say this. She is the reason why we feel like and actually often cannot be our full, passionate, expressive selves in the workplace.
Yeah.
Because the minute we are passionate. We're the angry black woman.
Yeah.
The minute we are excited about something, we're the angry black woman. And then the quote unquote snowflakes go, I feel attacked. I felt unsafe.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, but if somebody else, I mean, I've been in meetings where other folk were cussing and banging on the table and all of this, and I was like, gosh, if I did that, they'd be like, angry black woman.
They would have to show you out the door.
Like, call security.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and stuff like that. And it's like, and this is a very delicate tightrope that we have to walk without shrinking ourselves and making ourselves invisible and stepping outside of ourselves in corporate settings and learning how to be passionate at work in a way that doesn't open the door for other folk to play this particular version of the race card.
With this one, I'm very outspoken about it because I'll be the first person to say, don't try to pull the angry black woman card.
Right there.
So I'm speaking my mind just like everyone else in here is allowed to do. And don't, because I'm saying it, now all of a sudden it's offensive in a way. Like, we're not doing that.
I'm so glad you said that, because like a lot of us, like our letter writer, you know, feel like we can't do that. We can't stand our ground, but we absolutely can.
Yep.
And that is a beautiful, perfect way to do that. And I've had to do that, too.
Just tell them. You're speaking your mind just like everyone else in this room did.
I've even said, wait, why is it different when I said it?
Yeah.
Versus when so-and-so and so-and-so. At least I didn't
you
curse.
You have to call them out.
I said, at least I didn't curse like so-and-so did. Oh, Liz, okay. You know, kind of thing. So, yeah.
Whew. And then I have one final one, and we can end on that.
All right. I'm still sitting up. I haven't curled up in a ball on the couch yet. So I'm doing all right, but I'm glad we only have one more.
In closing, honorable mention.
Uh-oh.
And it's in a category all of its own.
Okay.
It's Tyler Perry's Struggling Black Sister.
We were doing so well.
In every single one of his movies, there's always some black woman who is struggling through life, who has all of the resources available to her, but does not know how to use them, and somehow learns how to take advantage of these resources so that she can then combat some corporate black woman who is either trying to take her man, her business, or her kids.
So I'm trying to tap into my Martin Lawrence t-shirt energy.
Fortunately, that is one that only exists in Tyler Perry films.
And that is why I often say, I love me some TP as a businessman and a community activist and how he throws his influential weight around Hollywood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But man, I'm not the target demographic for his particular type of creative, because this trope right here, and I realize it's a constant love letter to his mama and all of that, but don't do that at my expense.
Yeah,
like why
and
am
your
I
expense
and
your pocket, because you're paying to go see these movies.
Not my, I don't.
Well, not
but,
you,
I,
but
I don't.
The people who go,
but the
to
people
see
who
them.
Go. And I, you know, like, but don't do it at the
don't
expense.
Don't get me wrong,
of it,
though. I love a Madea
woman.
Movie. Some of them, well, the
okay,
first
low-key,
ones, the ones,
I do too,
the but ones that were made from the original plays, I liked those. But then everything
just,
after that, went off the rails.
I just don't like the trope. Like, I mean, if everything that he does is a homage and a love letter to his mom and her struggle and whatever, okay, cool. It's his
Listen.
Right. It's his prerogative because he's a creator. He can do whatever he wants in the spaces he creates, like we said at the top of the show.
I think that's where he started, but I don't think, like, there's any love in these last few films.
Well, I don't know, because honestly, I haven't watched a Tyler Perry production in a while. But, I mean, I did watch the Taraji P. Henson, like, take over the bank one on Netflix with Octavia Spencer. I did watch that one. I can't remember the name of it. Doesn't matter. But my issue is she's always pitted against a corporate black woman,
yeah,
who is a one-dimensional foil,
mm-hmm,
in the worst way. Sadidi, stucca, this, that,
yeah,
the other, loses her man, loses her Jesus, loses everything, mm-hmm, to this beat down, broke down, busted up chick. And it's like, I just wish that would, that trope,
it's pitting them against each other.
I don't like that. Like, yeah, when in reality, we tend to lift each other up in corporate spaces. Mm-hmm. Like, if I run into, I've been an officer level executive, yeah, for many years now, and, you know, and I'm as kind and nice and to the receptionist, the cleaning people,
mm-hmm,
the lunch ladies and the lunch men, the men in the lunchroom, and as everybody else. If not, like, I even try to look them out because then,
yeah,
they look you out. Like,
right,
like
it's a,
when
it's a mutual,
when you need that, you know, like, hey,
like,
that package from
we
Amazon
do for
coming,
each
you
other.
Know, like, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, or put that extra cheesesteak aside for me because I'm running late,
right,
to get down to the cast today. Or whatever it is. Like, we kind of look out for each other,
yeah,
because every person that I've met, once they see me, like, oh, that's you. Oh, you up there with them?
Right.
Oh,
I've had,
like,
that happen to me,
they're
too.
So
when they realize, they're like, oh,
they're so proud. Okay,
yes,
let me get you in with the CEO.
Exactly.
Let me get you in here. Let me do this. And then in return, you're looking them out and dropping their boss's notes and saying, oh, so-and-so was so super helpful to me.
Right.
And bigger bonus for them. Like, I don't know, but like we actually,
but I think that's
are
reality.
Happy and celebrate each
I
other.
I think that is reality. And again, I think that's why these stereotypes bother me a little bit.
For real.
Because
for real,
they make people think that we're against each other.
And we're not.
And we're not.
We are so not.
And we're not. Feel better? Did you exhale
no,
on that a little
I
bit?
Don't.
Oh, I'm
don't.
Sorry. I made
Wait,
you.
Wait, I have to.
Woosaw one more time.
Leverage some more Martin Lawrence woosaw energy. With a dash of relax, relate, release on the
there
side.
There you go. There
How
you go.
That?
Let that out into the universe.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try to get myself together in time for the next episode. But,
right.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah, you took me someplace. Yeah. But you brought me back. So I appreciate it.
I tried
it.
To end it on a good note.
I appreciate it. And now, we talked about our shirt. We talked about what we wear. And
yeah.
I gave my Martin Lawrence. This, to me, was one of the funniest moments in the history of the Martin Show.
It definitely was.
Like, hands down. Like, and I
Martin's Nino Brown impersonation.
With the fake
dog. And the fake dog. Yes.
I thought I saw like something on the interwebs somewhere that said that he was trying to get a real dog for the show and they couldn't get it, so they got the fake dog instead.
Well,
and
then
he just like
thank goodness for bad timing because the fake dog.
I don't know if that was
made
true or not,
the episode,
but the way he did that whole thing, the whole cast was like cracking up. But
if you notice on that episode. When he is doing his Nino Brown, they could not get a shot of the scene without them breaking down.
Yeah.
So even in the scene that they actually use in the show, you'll see a shot of like Tashina Arnold looking away.
Oh, Tommy Michael Ford was
yes.
like gone.
Yes.
He was like
gone.
Rest in peace to him. So, but
and like, you know, they're all just like kind of trying to hide their faces. It was hilarious. It's definitely
so,
a funny one.
So I had to wear that one. I had to wear this one today. And your shirt. Tell me about
this
your
is,
shirt and where you can get one.
This is the Just Us Pretty Wings.
I love
sweatshirt.
Her. I love
this
her.
Is available on our shop with all of the Just Us merchandise at LizThePurposeCoach.com/shop.
Store.
Store. One of these days.
Slash store. It's okay.
Slash store.
You can say it one more time for the people
Liz
in the back.
Okay. ThePurposeCoach.com/store.
Oh, slash store. Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay. I thought it was shop.
So shop our merch. Get yours. We have sweatshirts, T-shirts, all the merch.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Decided to represent us today.
I love it.
Since nobody's going to police what I'm wearing.
Amen to that. So, don't police that high five either. Wait, right. I'm a little bit better.
No,
with
not
a,
the.
Not I'm a little
the,
bit better with a fist bump. Shout out to the Obamas who shook the whole world over a fist bump.
Over a fist bump, the world turned upside down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next time I might have to break up my tan suit. Shout out to Barack. To my forever president. But anyway, we're not talking politics today. But
we're not.
That's today's episode.
That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome. Thank you, Liz.
All right. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And we will see you all in the next episode. Thank you.